OMA managed a final tour de force with the multifunctional passageway to the other pavilions. The Rieppel passageway is much more than a mere underground tunnel. Its first section is made up of three galleries presenting the Tribute to Rosa Luxemburg, a triptych by renowned Quebec artist Jean-Paul Rieppel. This is the longest piece the artist ever created and is probably the most important work in the National Collection. The story of this masterpiece begins in November 1992 when Jean-Paul Rieppel learned of the death of Joan Mitchell, an American artist with whom he shared nearly 25 years of his life. A few days after the announcement, Rieppel began to work on Tribute to Rosa Luxemburg, which he completed in January 1993. It consists of three sections around 15 meters long, divided into 30 vignettes. According to some art historians, the fresco's complex vocabulary evokes the close ties Rieppel kept with his artist and writer friends throughout his life. It was his last major work. You may be wondering, who is Rosa Luxemburg, the subject of the artist's tribute? Born in Poland in 1870, Rosa Luxemburg was a revolutionary activist, first in her home country, then in Germany, where she became one of the founding members of the Communist Party. Assassinated by soldiers in 1919, during the German Revolution, for her political activities, Luxemburg left behind a number of political writings that are still studied today. Rieppel references Rosa Luxemburg in more than just the title of his work. The artist had taken an interest in the activist and read her biography and Letters from Prison, letters written during her years of incarceration. Back then, to escape censorship by her jailers, Luxemburg put code into some of her writings, peppering them with allusions to nature and birds, a recurring motif in Rieppel's piece. Many have seen the triptych's title as a sign of codes and puzzles within that must be deciphered in order to grasp its true meaning. Although Rieppel's work honors the Polish revolutionary Rosa Luxemburg, he dedicated the piece to another Rosa, his Rosa Malheur, or Rosa Misfortune. This was Rieppel's affectionate name for Joan Mitchell, his former partner. The nickname, a cheeky nod to the animal painter Rosa Bonheur, attests to the tumultuous nature of the relationship between the two artists. Rieppel met Mitchell in Paris in 1955. They were introduced by American non-figurative painter Sam Francis, a great friend of Rieppel's. At the time, Rieppel was involved with a circle of young American painters who met at the Café du Dragon, where they shared strong ideas. Until 1959, Joan Mitchell lived between New York and Paris, where she ultimately settled. In 1967, she acquired a large house in Vétheuil, where Rieppel and her lived most of their lives together until they parted ways in 1979. Driven into a sort of creative frenzy by the news of Mitchell's death, Rieppel threw himself heart and soul into his tribute to Rosa Luxemburg. He needed space to create such an immense mural. He painted in a studio on Île aux Oies, a private island linked to Île aux Grues by tidal flats. Working tirelessly in difficult conditions, he completed the massive piece in under 2 months. For his triptych, Rieppel adopted a technique he had observed in the studio of the painter Ozias Le Duc, who earned his living as a church decorator. To create his frescoes, Le Duc would set up his canvases on rollers, paint one section at a time, roll it up once it was dry, and move on to the next one. That was exactly what Rieppel did, working flat on his table. Looking at the vignettes that make up the tribute, it's easy to imagine the size of the artist's table. In the 1980s, Rieppel set aside the thick, heavy rendering that was characteristic of his work from the 1950s and 1960s and began to experiment with an airier style, using spray paint. Without departing from representation, the process he used evoked the traces left by objects rather than the objects themselves. The birds, dead rodents, ferns, and nails were not painted. The artist placed them on a canvas one by one and captured their outlines with spray paint. Once that stage was complete, Riopelle surrounded and filled in the forms in acrylic, enhancing the scenes he had created. Following the fresco's progression and the increasing density of the motifs, we can imagine the artist's hurried, agitated state. It includes the shapes of objects that surrounded him in his studio: netting, engine parts, paddles, gloves, and so on. Once the object is removed, its silhouette on the canvas manifests both its past presence and its present absence. This way of evoking objects rather than representing them lends a diffuse character to the piece, blurring the lines and opening up a world of interpretation. Thanks to the construction of the Pierre Lassonde Pavilion and the creation of the Riopelle Passageway, the three sections of the famous triptych can now be shown next to one another for the first time, offering visitors unprecedented immersion in the artist's work.